eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus the Messiah. I have given you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Abba, glorify me with your own glory, the glory I had with you before the world began. This is a word from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
Although it may seem more like the Christmas season this weekend, it is the last Sunday in the Easter season this week, the season of renewal, of rebirth, regrowth, resurrection. Today is also the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism, and Transphobia, today, May 17th. It's a global day of solidarity and collective action for the 2S LGBTQIA communities and aims to coordinate international events that raise awareness of 2S LGBTQIA rights violations and stimulate interest in rights for queer folks worldwide. Today, the day has been marked in 155 countries and territories, including 25 of those where consensual same-sex relationships are still illegal. Well, I don't generally recognize special occasions in the calendar year because there are so many of them. It seems important to acknowledge this one because of its significance today as we seek to understand the nature of the Easter message. And I think the church in general around the world, we don't really get the Easter message, nor are we good at proclaiming its life-changing good news to the world. The passage from John that Ron just read was part of a longer prayer in the Gospel of John. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed just before in John he was tried and crucified. And while it's not literally Jesus' prayer, it was actually the writer's summary of many of the main themes in Jesus' ministry while he was on earth. Things he would have taught and spoken about throughout his travels. And these thoughts and ideas and his teachings were compiled in one prayer in the Gospel of John. And in this prayer, Jesus proclaimed that God had given the entire world into his care, and that his ministry had been to reconcile the whole world to God. The whole world. All people. Then, in the same prayer, he declared that he was ready to return to God because his task had been completed. He had, in fact, done all that God had tasked him with. He says that Jesus himself in the prayer says, I have put eternity in the hearts of all you have given me. And just prior to that, he said God had given him all people. Yet somehow it seems to me in the church or any place in the world, we are unable to live into this reality of loving all people, accepting all people. The world, more than ever these days, seems to be divided over so many things. We cannot seem to be reconciled in the knowledge that we are all destined for eternity, and that in the end, all of us will know the love of our Creator. This truth, though, kind of rings for us true because most religions, and even people not religious, contain within them some sense of the eternal nature of creation or of the universe. That in one way or another, all have a place in eternity, whether it is some kind of afterlife like heaven or nirvana or paradise, or just a simple return to the elements to be a source for life ongoing. I have been called many times to the hospice to meet with people I've never met before. Their families have called, or somebody's called on their behalf because somebody wants to meet with a clergy person. And often these people are not of a religious nature, but they want to talk about it. In their last days, they want to ask. So I know that there are people out there who want to know about this, even if they've never been in a church, never heard the message of Easter. In this passage, I have come to believe that when Jesus said, all, he meant all. We are at our essence spiritual beings who live here temporarily, and then all return to our source, whatever we might think that looks like. We do not have to live in this world as if we are separate individuals trying to make it on our own. We are connected through spirit to be one body in this world, caring for each other, promoting peace and cooperation. This, I believe, is the true message of Easter. Life, new life, abundant life for all. Because think of this, if it is not for all, it is not for any. Jesus modeled that kind of life, what it means to be spiritual, to look beyond what we can see, to grasp the ultimately unknowable here on earth, to encourage us to explore the greater reality we know as God. The soul doesn't speak in the language of logic or reason. The soul is fed by creativity and imagination and emotions. Most of the time on earth, we simply exist in the world of concrete biological systems and logic, perhaps. We exist that way. But if we really want to live, we will pay more attention to our souls, the spiritual realm, the place where we know eternity. If we truly understood that we are all eternal and all under God's reality, perhaps we could then find ways to live with respect for all creation and with each other. Easter is the reminder that even in the darkest of places, life is always there, always at work, ready to be realized if we look deeply. We in the church celebrate this kind of resurrection renewal every single Sunday. Every Sunday is an Easter. But Easter is every single day, and it is everywhere. Now, I rarely speak about eternal life because nobody really knows what it looks like. Here's what I hope it's not. I hope it's not blissful living forever, surrounded by billions of wonderful, loving people who live together forever. That sounds a little boring to me. I think we have to have things to do. That's not my version of eternity or heaven, quite the opposite. Yet, as Jesus says, we all have eternity in our souls. I have come to understand that nothing that God has created will ever disappear. Everything that exists will continue to exist in some form or another. Not as we do on earth, but in some different eternal form. Even Jesus, after the resurrection event, didn't look or act the same. He wasn't the same. As the story goes, he became something new, which we will as well. All of us, every living thing. We all come from the same eternal source. Eternity is in us, and we return to that eternal source. That's why in the church, we are called to love everyone. Because everyone is eternal. Everyone is God's creation. Everyone is loved by God. God has no boundaries. Therefore, we don't need to have any. If we are already eternal beings, eternity is not just for the future, it is for now, to recognize it in each other. We can't live as if we're waiting for something better later. We will live as if eternity is real, right now. That everyone I meet is an eternal being that God loves. So why do we as human beings insist on seeing others as different or somehow not worthy of our love or of God's love? As if anyone or anything is outside of God's concern or care. We all exist within God's reality, not our own reality, within God's reality. That's why I think hospitality is perhaps the greatest virtue of the church. When we extend hospitality to anyone, we are acknowledging that everyone is welcome. Everyone is beloved of God. That we know that eternity is in each person's soul. And so we enfold them in the love of God. How am I? How are you? How are we doing at welcoming people into our community, at inviting them in? Do we take it as our personal responsibility to welcome people into the church, to show them love? Because it is. We are the church. We are the body of Christ in the world. The church should be the place where people know us too well and extend grace and forgiveness and love despite our faults and weaknesses, because God embraces everyone through Christ. And I want to be clear, though, that doesn't mean we have to like everyone. It's impossible. We don't always like the way people behave or think. We can't. We're different in this realm. Yet the only way to make a better world is to love everyone, to do as Jesus did, just welcome everyone. Didn't mean he didn't spar with them sometimes, but welcome them, even when they frustrated him, called him names, challenged him, hated him, and ultimately killed him. Even on the cross, he could say, "Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." We do, even if we don't like people, have to treat people with respect and compassion. Forgive them. Let them make their own choices. Take care of them whether or not we like them. And it's really hard. That's why we need to remember we are eternal. We need Christ's Spirit to help us. We have to ask often for the courage and strength to love everyone, to accept them as they are, not as we think they should be, to let go of their mistakes, their differences, and just welcome them, to work toward acceptance of all people. We don't have to agree with them, but we have to give them the right to be themselves. This is love. Love is the only force that will ultimately change the world. And it starts with you and me, with the church, with the eternal Spirit at work in our lives. Love people, period. Don't judge them, don't reject them, degrade or disparage them. Because all people are eternal beings, just like you and me. If Jesus is for them, there's no way we can be against them, no matter who they are, what they do, how they present themselves. Every day is a day to acknowledge that everyone belongs, everyone has a place. We cannot exclude anyone because God knows no boundaries. The church needs to get this, the worldwide church, and we need to proclaim it to the world, because if people found out that we would love them as soon as they walked in these doors, they would want to be here. So let's start practicing eternity now with everyone we meet. Reminding ourselves that everyone we meet, we're going to be hanging out with for eternity. It's a great reason to get to know and love them right now. Let's take a moment for reflection.